We're doing Pirkei Avot with Rabbeinu Yonah. We're up to the fourth chapter, the tenth Mishnah. Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Meir says, "Havei mima'et be'esek v'asok b'Torah." Minimize your business dealings and deal in Torah. Ve'vei shfal ruach bifnei chol adam, and have humility in the face of all men. Important rule. Sometimes we're humble, but only in certain people's presence. Other people, v'im batalta minat Torah, and if you find that you've annulled your time of Torah, you could have learned, but you just wasted it. Yesh lecha betelim o bekenegdecha. So then there are a lot of people opposite you, or a lot of causes opposite you for annulling time and not using it for Torah. And we'll see how Rabbeinu Yonah interprets those words. V'im amalta b'Torah, but if you toiled in Torah, Yesh lo sachar harbe liten lach. Then he has a lot of good wages to pay you. So Rabbi Meir says, "Evei mima'et ba'esek, minimize your dealings, va'asok b'Torah, and deal in Torah. Shetasem lach t'charai v'torotcha keva." Because a person's perspective should be, the work is what I'm doing on the side. My main point is I'm learning Torah. You ask a person, what do you do? So he says, I'm a businessman, I'm a carpenter, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm a plumber, I'm an electrician. No, I'm a person who learns Torah. I also do plumbing to make a living. But what am I? What's my main dealing? I learn Torah. It happens to be I have to spend 6 to 8 hours a day making my living. But that's not who I am. Having mima'et ba'esek, you want to know your work should be something that's, I'm doing it. Yeah, I have to do it. It's on the side. It happens to take many hours of my day. But my main point is my learning. And if that's our approach, then it affects our self-image. B, it affects our utilization of time. If my main point is learning Torah, this is where this is a very powerful tool. We can frame our perspective. And once we do that, then it really affects what we do. Let's take a small example. You have a day off. What do you do? Well, if you have a day off and you say, I want to get ahead in my industry, so then you're going to spend the day researching how to promote your product, how to advance in your field. If you say, I'm a guy who learns Torah. I also have to work, but I'm a guy who learns Torah. So when I have a day off, let me run to the Beis Medrash. Let me catch a good shir. Let me catch a good chavrusa. Let me develop my learning. Let me catch up. Let me review. How do I define myself? Well, that's a major question. How do you define yourself? Rabbi Meir says, well, the dealings, your other dealings, should be something you do on the side. And the Torah should be your main point. And this is what we discussed from the Chafetz Chaim, that you could have a person who learns only 1 hour a day, but all day he's thinking, I got to finish work so I can get to that hour. Well, then that's considered like he learned all day, because he learned what he could that day, and everything else was supportive of that learning. I have to work, I have to deal with my family, I have to do what I have to do, and when I have a minute, I'm going to run and learn Torah. So that's a major defining force for a person. What am I? And when we define that, then we can really grow. Suddenly you discover, hey, I have a few free minutes on the train ride. Hey, I have a few free minutes when I'm waiting for the train. If my definition is as a person who learns Torah, I'm going to search for the times to learn, and I'm going to be focused when I learn. How many times does a person just sit down to work and he says, don't disturb me, I have to concentrate. Then he sits down to learn, and they come and ask him a billion things. Yeah, sure, I have time, we can talk. So that's no. It should be the other way around. Yeah?
Also, I think along the lines of what you're saying, we have, in most jobs and downtime and commuting, if you define yourself in your own mind as someone who learns and that's your primary importance, you'll find amazing time. And then jobs, people do long-distance truck driving. You can imagine how much learning you could do.
Shireen.
10 hours, 8 hours a day. Shireen, yeah. I used to drive myself to Shiur and then a half an hour of sports talk or whatever. And then but, I mean, the amount of things, and, of course, also, in a job, you get to put into practice your learning, how you treat people, what comes up with things. So if your self-definition is a Torah learner and doer, it's unbelievable amounts of time. And I'm not saying someone's doing surgery, you know what Rashi said. I mean, but you know, at the moment he's doing surgery. But in normal jobs, and most of the time, that's amazing.
I've actually found in,
once you have that self-definition, right?
In that vein, I've also found that if you listen to Shirim, like even when you're busy, then by osmosis, you just like hear things.
Yeah.
That's right. You need to find yourself in what you're, because you're attentive to it. Just like for negative things. I mean, learn not to be. You see something that you shouldn't be seeing. You know, look up. You can reverse engines.
Ve'veish fal ruach bifnei chol adam, Rabbi Meir says, and be humble in the face of all men. Gamzeh devar minyan ha-Torah. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, this is also relevant to Torah. Ve'al ken ne'emar betoch divrei Torah ve'lo kadmo ve'lo achro. ורצה לומר כי תצליח בתורה שהיא המעלה האמיתית לא תתגע. Rabbi Meir, who was the super, super genius of Torah. Rabbi wanted to learn by him. Everyone wanted to learn by Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir was the super, super genius. And Rabbi Meir came and told us, "You will, even when you succeed in Torah, do not be arrogant. Hevei shfal ruach, be humble in the face of all men. ואין צריך לומר כי מפני המעלות האחרות נוכריות גשמיות שאין רוי להתגאות. Rabbi Meir didn't feel it necessary to tell us that one shouldn't be arrogant because they are good looking. One shouldn't be arrogant because they have a beautiful voice. One shouldn't be arrogant because they are the greatest runner. For other advantages a person has, obviously you shouldn't be arrogant. That Rabbi Meir wasn't coming to teach. Rabbi Meir was coming to say, but if you've succeeded in the most important thing in life, you've succeeded in Torah, that's when I'm coming to tell you, don't be arrogant, be humble in the face of all men. Be humble in the face of all men means, even when you meet people who ordinarily humanity looks down at them, even people who you meet the drunk in the street, you meet the guy who people don't respect, be humble next to him too. Because that's the way you ensure that you are distant from the trait of arrogance. Rabbi Meir didn't feel it necessary to tell us, when you have a chavrusa who's on your level, have the humility and the respect for your chavrusa who's on your level. Rabbi Meir was saying, you meet people who are way beneath you, and you've already become a giant in Torah. Nonetheless, be humble in the face of all men. Yes?
Obviously, there's a wealth of shirim on this topic, but would you be able to just define arrogant versus... can we be able to define the word arrogant? Or like a few seconds, or is this like another shirim? It can only be answered another shirim.
I'll try to give a short answer. The question is, can it be understood with a few words? In a nutshell, arrogance is when a person takes credit for themselves and looks down at others. He thinks he is great in an unwarranted way. Meaning self-worth is, I know my value. I know I'm important. That's important. You have to know your value. You have to know you're important. Arrogance is when we take credit for things and we allow ourselves, because of that, to feel greater than others and to look down at others. And there are two elements here that are problematic. There's the element that a person allows himself to be arrogant, to look down at others, to feel like he's greater than others. And there's the element of the lie in the arrogance, that a person is really taking credit for so many things that are not his own credit. If a person were honest, he would say, I had a lot of assistance. I had a lot of support to get where I got to.
You're saying like two things. You're saying the fact that, number one, that it's like, number two is a lie. Number one is also the fact that they're looking down on people.
Yeah. Arrogance is lethal because when it's based on a lie, so then there's this panic to retain the lie. No one should know I made a mistake. No one should know, because what ends up happening is the lie becomes at the forefront. My image is more important than who I am. If people would know, then I'd be in danger. So arrogance puts us at a place where we become more dangerous to ourselves and to others, because we have to protect the lie. Now, we all lie. All of us, and no one here wants everyone to know their weaknesses. But when it becomes center stage, when it becomes a part of who I am, and no one else should know, I want to be able to maintain that image. That's when it becomes greater arrogance. The more humble a person is, the more honest a person is, the less panicked the person is if people know they made a mistake. Moshe Rabbeinu makes a mistake, so what does he do? It says he has the people blow trumpets and gather everyone together and announce, Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake. I want everyone to know I made a mistake. That's what it says. He puts it on a loud broadcast. Let's make sure no one makes this mistake like me. They should realize I made a mistake when I said that. That's Moshe Rabbeinu, the most humble of men. What do we do when we make a mistake? No one should see. Who was first? I don't know. Benny, yes.
Does this also play into, last night we were talking about that Shimshon and other people had the strengths that ended up being their downfall. Did that come through them misusing it in an arrogant kind of way?
I don't know.
Because it seemed like with Binyamin, you're mentioning, because it was a very strong tribe, but he did have a reason to be confident to take on the rest of the Jews. But that ended up almost killing the tribe.
Don't know. I don't know. Let me see. Could be. I think Rashi might say what you just said. I don't remember.
I was thinking the same thing about Shlomo when you said he was looking from an outside perspective. Isn't that how I'm saying that? Wasn't that his sin? That his wives were doing sorcery?
I'm not following. The what?
You said that Shlomo, or with the name, they have a general personality of being calm and kind of looking at things sort of from an outside perspective. You said, like, your kid that when there's kind of chaos in the house. But that's the same thing with Shlomo? That, his wives were... Was that he was partaking in it, but his wives were worshiping, and he didn't. It seems like he was kind of looking from an outside perspective.
Give me one second.
Right. Normally, it's different. Okay. No.
I don't see it over here. I think it might say it somewhere else. I don't see it here in Rashi. I have to see if it says it. I don't see it. I don't see it here. No, that gotta look. I don't know, because before we attribute to these giants a fault, a shortcoming, we have to know if Chazal said it, otherwise we wouldn't have a right to say it. To say that Samson was proud of his might, I don't know. I don't know of a source for that. We have to check. I don't know. Yes?
You mentioned that, we're all liars at times. This may be true, but if you define it, I don't think the fact that you don't reveal everything and all the time. I mean, so I don't have to say, someone may think I'm so honest that I don't have to say, I came close to taking this. Does that make me a liar? Or, what I'm saying? The idea that...
I cut it yourself.
No, I say that, we all give possibly impressions of not our total selves, but maybe that's the way it's supposed to be. I mean, you
know, some degree.
Right. Okay.
Some degree. Obviously, we're not ashrei nesui pesha.
But to create a false impression, I think we try not to do that, hopefully. That's a different thing. I mean,
I think it's a very fine line, and it's very hard.
It's a fine line. Okay, just that was in your answer that it struck me. My real question here, the wondering to us is, since arrogance is such a dangerous trait, I think one of the things that seems to me when you answered is, if you take credit for the gifts that you have, from Hashem, family, whatever, you know, whether it's brains, looks, inheritance of, we take credit for gifts, or more accurately, probably loans from Hashem, because and ask what we did with it, and you believe that it's your efforts alone that were enough. That's, I think.
Okay.
Seems to me, we see it. You know, like, you know, somebody who toils in Torah, like he's talking about. Obviously, he did something. There are people who are born with great ability did nothing. But if you didn't have the brains and the teachers and the yeshiva and all the stuff that you had nothing to do with, you wouldn't be it. And the proof we see too is, people who were great, and God forbid, get Alzheimer's or something, and you see, they know nothing afterwards. So, yeah.
There's a balance here, though. A person does have to take credit for what they did right. Meaning, on some level, a person shouldn't just say, I'm worthless.
But that pride is the way Rav Noach Weinberg.
Okay, you fit? Yeah.
Take pleasure in it. You know, hey, thank God. You know, I look okay. I have some brains, but... You know, I could have just easily been born in some
Syria.
Refugee camp in Syria, exactly. What did you do like to get there? Exactly.
Yeah.
Cool.
So we'll pick up here Bezajem next week. Rabbi Meir had taught us to minimize our dealings and deal in Torah, and we said that's also a question of perspective, not only question of how much time, it's also what our perspective is, and to be humble in the face of all men. And that, to my mind, is a huge, huge lesson. It's very tempting when we meet people who we think are at the bottom of the social ladder. It's very tempting to look down at them, to disregard them, and it can be the seller who you believe you will never again meet at the store, and it could be the checkout clerk who is having a very hard time pushing the buttons. And it can be all kinds of people where we're tempted to look down at them. And that's why Rav Meir says, be humble in the face of all men. And a person has to realize, one of my kids said a nasty line to their sibling. And I said, you should know, more than you hurt your sibling, you hurt yourself. Because your sibling is going to get over the line you said. But what type of person are you when you say that line? Your sibling is going to move on. But you have to ask yourself, didn't I just put myself down when I used that kind of line on my sibling? When people look down or speak down to someone, so that person might be used to it. But what type of person am I when I speak that way to people? Till today, they record that Roosevelt spoke very, very nicely to the household help. The household help loved him because Roosevelt treated them nicely. And he would visit them and he would treat them nicely. History records that till today. Roosevelt is admired for that. Now, how many people look down and put down people because it's just the household help? It's just the gardener. Rabbi Meir, who was the giant, I'm saying he... All of our Mishnah is based on Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, it says, just to see him would be awe-inspiring. Just to see him. Just to look at Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir was extraordinary, and he says, be humble in the face of all men. All men. There are two versions to the Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, kol Adam. Rabbeinu Yonah says, kol ha-Adam. If you add the hey, then it means all of humanity. Kol Adam means all men, meaning all Jewish men. Kol Ha'adam means all of humanity, irrespective of whether a person is Jewish or not.